Our study at this time begins with the first chapter of the book of Ezekiel. The first verse says, "Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shebar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God." Now this dating here of the 30th year, we'll find later that this is 592 B.C., since it was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. It's thought by most Bible scholars to be the 30th year of Ezekiel's life. So he's dating his writings, his visions, from his own years, the 30th year of his life. Now, there are other views that are not so widely held as to what this date means. Some reckon this date from the accession of Nebuchadnezzar, the father of Nebuchadnezzar, in B.C. 625, and suppose that he here gives a Babylonian date. This would be the time when the Babylonian Empire really arose to its great power. And so that would make the date 595 B.C. Others reckon the date as being the 18th year of Josiah, when Hilkiah discovered the book of the law, supposed to be a jubilee year, and this would make the date then B.C. 594 is the 30th year. But there's no instance of Ezekiel using any other Babylonian year or of Ezekiel using this year as a date of reckoning. So the most commonly held view is probably the most accurate one, that this is the 30th year of Ezekiel's life. This is the age at which the priests began their office. And we find other instances of events being dated from men's lives. The flood was dated from the 600th year of Moses' life. Jesus' ministry began in the 30th year of his life. John the Baptist's ministry also began in the 30th year of his life. So the year 30 was an age in which a man had truly arrived at that mature state that he could begin a solemn, sacred office of God. And in the case of Ezekiel, he would have been old enough to begin the priesthood. Now, we need to note, though, that Ezekiel never was able to be a priest because he was removed from the temple, and God had another office reserved for him, that of being a prophet in the place of being a priest. But all peoples who are familiar with the Word of God would be familiar with the fact that this age of 30 was certainly a mature age in which a man could begin a solemn office of God. So he was in the 30th year in the fourth month. Now the Jews reckoned their months by numbering them, and the first month would correspond to our April, and so the fourth month would be corresponding to our month of July. In the fifth day of the month, so he specifically has it marked to the very actual day of the month. Well, note that it was after the captivity that they came back then with months having names, and these are thought to be names they received from the Babylonians. So in the fourth month and the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river Shebar. Now, this river of Shebar was a river that ran into the Euphrates River about 200 miles northwest of Babylon. So Ezekiel was quite a ways now from the city of Babylon, remembering that the city of Babylon was more the territory in which Daniel occupied while he was in the captivity, and they were both captives at the same time here. So he was quite removed from Daniel, although he may very well have known and met with and had communication with Daniel. So among the captives by the river of Shebar. Now, among the captives, this may indicate that Ezekiel didn't really consider himself to be a captive in the same sense that the others were captives. Here was a man whose mind was not a captive by any means. He was ready and able to serve God. He was able to see these visions of God. He was able to see the Word of God and have it spoken to him and interpreted. And Consequently, he refers to himself as among the captives. Other men, when they are placed in a position of captivity, are true captives. But we find that the true men of God have different things happen. For example, the stoning of a Stephen. During that time, Stephen's able to see the heavens open. John, while exiled on the Isle of Patmos, sees the heavens open. Ezekiel, while among the captives by the river of Shebar in Babylonia, sees the heavens open. So he was truly a man set apart. So among the captives, this phrase captives means that the people were removed from their homeland. They were taken into put into a condition of semi-captivity. They were able to live in communities and to function. They weren't necessarily chained or placed into dungeons or prisons, but they were captives in the sense that they were removed from their homeland. And this was a practice begun by the Assyrians of conquering a nation and removing the people to a distant land who were the natives of that nation. And it was carried on even into later times. Such conquerors as Alexander also practiced this act of taking people out of their homeland in a form of captivity. Ezekiel states that the heavens were opened and I saw visions of God. Now, true, Ezekiel did see visions of God. We would have to learn that there was no God and that God did not, in times past, deal miraculously with his servants, that he did not show them visions. He did not miraculously impart to them ideas and thoughts and teachings in order for us to truly question and challenge this fact that he saw visions of God. One cannot prove that there is no God or that God cannot speak or that God could not speak to Ezekiel. God spoke to Ezekiel. The heavens were opened and he saw visions of God. Each of these visions has some of the outward signs or symbols that are recorded. If we examine these symbols, we shall find that they fall into two classes. One, those which were employed in common with the writers of all ages and countries, such things as gold, sapphire, burnished brass, and the terrible crystal or familiar images of majestic glory. Thunders, lightnings, and the rushing of storm are images of awful power. But secondly, then, Ezekiel has visions that are in the form of grotesque images, and such things as the four living creatures are examples of this. So it should be very exciting for us to be allowed then to study a book in which the writer in the very first verse talks about seeing visions of God, that the heavens were opened, and consequently then we're going to be allowed to participate in the benefits of those visions which he saw. Verse 2, in the fifth day of the month, which was the fifth year of King Jehoiachin's captivity. Now he here again gives the day of the month and dates it from the captivity of King Jehoiachin, which was in 597 B.C. So 5 years from that would make this 592 B.C. So this year, 592 B.C., is the 30th year of Ezekiel. It is the year in which he began to see his visions, and it is the date then that he hangs this book on. And so we definitely can go back to a definite date. He has the month and he has the day of the month. So there is no guesswork on the part of Ezekiel as to when this happened. He has a definite time and place, and so that we just look upon this then as being a true event that happened in history. It happened among God's people. It happened to one of God's prophets, and it's recorded here for our benefit today. Verse 3, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. The word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest. This was a special event. It was a special showing or a special giving of the word of the Lord. Ezekiel is going to have things given to him that were not given to others, that had not been given before. And consequently, then, it came expressly to Ezekiel. Ezekiel was the one, he was the only one to whom this was shown. Now, he's called here Ezekiel the priest, but as we noticed earlier, although he was old enough to begin the office of priesthood, and he had trained for it, he was raised to be a priest. His father is also assumed to have been a priest. He was very familiar with the temple, all the items of worship, and the functions and duties of a priest. He was just now old enough to begin that office. He was not able to serve as a priest because they were out of the vicinity of the temple, and the articles involved in the priesthood, the sacrifices and all, apparently were not available for him to serve. So, but God has another office for him now, and that is the office of being an express recipient of the word of the Lord. The word of the Lord came to Ezekiel. And so here's a man who is thwarted from his profession. However, he has another office that's going to be as good or maybe better because of its uniqueness in the case of Ezekiel. So the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Shebar. Now he's repeating what we already know. And the hand of the Lord was there upon him. This phrase, the hand of the Lord was upon him, indicates that the Lord compelled him. It wasn't just something that Ezekiel, he decided, oh, I believe I'll have a vision today, or I don't feel in the mood for it today. Whenever this thing came, it compelled him. The hand of the Lord was upon him, so that it wasn't something that Ezekiel willed to do or not to do. It was something that he found that he was in the grasp of God's hand, and he had no choice in the matter. The hand of the Lord was there upon him. And this was definitely the power of God, the moving force of God that was behind all of this. It was not some imagination of Ezekiel. It was not some imagination of any other man. It was not something he received from the writings of other people. But this came expressly from God to Ezekiel, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. Now in verse 4, we get into the vision that Ezekiel saw, or he might even say the vision which Ezekiel experienced. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud, and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. So Ezekiel saw this great whirlwind come out of the north. It's like a storm, like what we'd call a tornado now. And if you've ever experienced a tornado, if you've ever seen one and been in the presence of one, you know it's a very fearful and awesome sight. It's one that can strike terror into your hearts because it has a very destructive power about it, force. And that's what Ezekiel saw. He saw this whirlwind come out of the north. Now, there have been a lot of speculation as to why it came out of the north. Most Bible scholars seem to think that this was the direction from which the majority of the enemies of Judah came. And so when God would send a destructive power upon them, with the exception of Egypt, it would come out of this area of the north. And that's quite possible, because we do know that God uses these nations to carry out His will. And the nations were used as a tool of God to bring about His judgment against the people of Israel and the people of Judea. So we saw this whirlwind coming out of the north. He says, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it. So these are the most descriptive terms that Ezekiel could think of to use, or that he could find words to convey to others. And we need to note in all of the visions that are given in the Bible that the description of these visions are limited by the words that men are able to use to describe them. Now the only words that can be used are words that relate to something that we know about. Had God had Ezekiel to use a word that we didn't know the definition of. It had maybe have a meaning to God, but no meaning to us. It would be really meaningless. So these visions and their descriptions are dependent upon the ability of words to convey a picture to us. And these, since words have to be only things that we have experienced, then they have to be something that we could experience. And it may be very figurative. But to see this great whirlwind, the great cloud, the fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, that's the description Ezekiel has to give. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Now this color of amber is more properly translated to mean a mixture of the colors of gold and silver. And that's the general color that came out of the middle of this thing. And then he says out of the midst of the fire. So we see wind, we see a whirlwind like a tornado, we see a great cloud. And of course, tornadoes are associated usually with black clouds. We see fire connected with this, with a great brightness about it. And then we see this gold and silver color coming out of the midst of the fire. So this is the great whirlwind, and this is representative of some kind of destructive power coming as a result of God taking vengeance upon his people. And Ezekiel gives this description as though he's there actually experiencing this thing. Now in verse 5, also out of the midst thereof came the likeness of four living creatures. So out of this whirlwind comes another symbolic vision that he says is the likeness of four living creatures. Now this word for creatures can also be translated as beings. And these are what we would commonly call the cherubim. We read about them other places in the Bible. This is not really a new thing to see something like this. And we're going to look at some of the other areas in the Bible where these are described. But he calls them the four living creatures or four living beings. And there was, and this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. These four beings had a general appearance of a man. They had the likeness of a man. But we're going to see how they had other appearances also that were not exactly the same as those of a man. Now there are those who try to say that Ezekiel got this idea from seeing the architecture of the Chaldean buildings in which they had their images inscribed thereon that may resemble some of these things that Ezekiel saw. However, we're going to show that these cherubim are not new to Ezekiel, and they're not new to any Bible scholar. They came before Ezekiel had this vision in the Bible, and they also predated these Babylonian and Assyrian drawings and figures that some people think gave Ezekiel his idea for this vision. God distinctly had cherubim long before Babylonia and Assyria even existed, and he didn't pattern his vision or his idea after anybody else. As a matter of fact, there have always been among the pagans and among the false religion these counterfeits of the true and genuine articles of God. And this principle even holds true today. You know, in order for Satan to successfully wage a warfare against the things of God, what he has done has been to create a false religion that is counterfeit, that very nearly patterns many of the things in the true religion, but they're really not the same. They are counterfeit or false things. For example, in the case of our Savior, long before our Savior came, Satan already had a Madonna and child idea going among the pagans. He already had paganistic people holding a cross of some type as some kind of a sacred object. He already had people observing holy days that God never intended for his people to keep, which were later incorporated into the church by those who have fallen away. So as we look at these living creatures here that are seen by Ezekiel, let us not fall into that trap of thinking that Ezekiel was just looking at the inscriptions of the Assyrians and Babylonians and got his idea from them. These visions that Ezekiel saw come from God. They are original from the work of God. They have nothing to do with the men who lived round about. And so there are some similarities. That does not prove anything, and we cannot come to the conclusion that Ezekiel was simply touting the ideas of those paganistic nations when he saw this vision. And as we study this vision and its meaning and the purpose of it, then we're going to see that this is something that could not and would not come forth out of the mind of man. Well, we're just about at the end of our time for this study session, so we're going to close at that point. Next time, then, Lord willing, we'll begin in this fifth verse with a more detailed study of the cherubim which Ezekiel saw. Thank you.